This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I always go back to what Mike Sherman used to tell me about being a coordinator or being a head coach back when I was in Miami with him. And he said, you just got to be consistent at all times. Everyone, it's so easy to ride the wave in this league of the wins and the losses, the ups and downs. And yet the head coach needs to just be as steady Eddie as he can possibly be. And so that's what I try to do. That's what the best ones I've been around do, is that they're the ultimate pendulum. When things get a little bit too high, you make sure to keep everybody grounded. And when things are a little bit low, you make sure to raise up the sea level a little bit.
Be consistent. Ben Johnson seems like it. Seems like he's consistent. Caleb Williams said, yeah, he was weird. He was cold. He didn't like me. That's what I thought when we started. And now we have a better relationship. And that was run by Ben Johnson yesterday. And he goes, yeah, I think my closest friends would tell you that's exactly right. So, Ben Johnson's consistent. That's the way he is with people. He is demanding, and he will take the blame as well as assign it. Depends what's needed, but he apparently is consistent that way. He's followed that advice. It's excellent advice. And I'm guessing it seems as though he hasn't just told people what to do. He has told them the why. That is the sign of a great leader. And I don't care what business you're in. If you are coaching football, if you're selling socks at a department store, not just the what, but the why. And then people will feel they're involved somehow. They'll feel better educated. 312-644-6767 is the number here on the score. And while we spend time trying to reach Mark Potash, let's take this phone call. Tyler, can you bring up this phone call? Because we're not sure. I just saw the name. And there, you know, decades ago, when Grody and I were doing the show, when we founded the Wake and Bake Club, we used to get phone calls on a regular basis from a man who was the governor of Portland. And here I see Toby in Portland. Welcome to the score.
It's me. Hello.
Oh my God, Toby, it's you. You are a legendary part of our roll call, and we have not. Right. Where have you been? People actually text in and goes, "Where's Toby? I haven't heard Toby."
I've been here in Portland trying to keep people sane, you know.
But no, you want to keep Portland weird. You're perfect for Portland.
Oh, I know. I fit right in here, so that's where I've been, and watching the Bears still. So.
All right. So what do you think of the Bears?
Pretty good. And I was saying, I think I got a pretty prime spot here. If they end up in Seattle, I'll be able to go up there. If they end up for either of the California teams, I can make it down there. So, and I know people in Chicago. So, by the way, I mean, spent 30 years there. It's not like I'm not a Chicagoan, so.
Well, we still welcome you. There are people wondering about you. There are people who need to know that you're good and you're thriving and you're weird as ever.
I am. And, you know, I was thinking about, I mean, you know how Ben Johnson is. Isn't that kind of how our relationship started? You know, we were a little distant, but we grew.
Yes, we did. And I'm sorry Mark Grody is not here to share this Toby experience, because
I did check in with the midday show recently. I popped my head up, so every once in a while I get a chance to listen. So But
so you actually checked in with
about something too.
You checked in with the media, with the midday show, and Grody was on the air.
He was allowed, I believe, that day. So I love to, you know, if you listen very closely in the background for the open, you can hear me laughing because I was the one that asked you about the keg stand because Trash Panda had told me.
Yeah. That's right. Well, and there you are as part of the open and as part of the roll call. So did you say you had a question before we go on to our guest?
I had an idea.
Oh, I'm here for that.
So, you know, this is the first year. How long do you think it's going to be until we get a real Hard Knocks to come back here?
You'll have to wait till the McCaskey monarchy sells to somebody who has entered the 21st century.
Because is George that way?
Oh, yeah. No cursing.
Yeah.
No real stuff. Nothing real. Him really? And Kevin Warren, and they're just going to try to package this whole thing, and nobody believes it, and it's a whole lot. That comes from Kevin Warren's, I think, part of his Notre Dame, their affinity, their education there, where you get sanctimonious frauds who graduate and graduate and graduate, and that's what kind of stuff you get.
Oh, yeah. I work with some of them, yeah.
There you go. Toby, I got to go. I got Mark Potash. Do you have any words for Mark Potash before I...
Potsy.
There you go. That's a good word.
All right.
Toby, it's great to hear from you. I'm so glad there will be so many people on Saturday.
Keep sucking.
Yeah. The what?
Keep sucking.
All right. Sure. It's what I do. It's what I do best. Right. And you too. One of the reasons that Wake and Bake Club exists is Toby. Thanks, Toby.
Absolutely.
All right. That's great. Not heard from him for a long time. I didn't know that he checked in with Grody. I didn't hear that, but I'm glad he did. All right, now we're going to go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Joining me, Mark Potash from markpotash.net. He does specific and terrific writing, and you see him in the Sun-Times too. Potsy, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. And so you wrote today, I'd like you to share with the class, you talked about the kind of test the Bears face this week, which has been sort of a standing headline the last couple of weeks and will be for the rest of the season, however long that season goes. But what specifically about the Niners tomorrow in that location, that coach, those players... What makes this, what are the biggest part of the test that you need to see the Bears pass?
Well, you know, the Bears have had really good fortune. I mean, they've been good, no doubt about it. They've had really good fortune of missing key players. You know, they played the Bengals without Joe Burrow and the Steelers, without Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers without Micah Parsons. And, you know, George Kittle's probably not going to play, and I think that's probably good for the Bears. It gives them a better chance to win, you know, to get the number one seed, which is all good. But I think for a developing team, and this is not a must. I think at this point they should want to play a team at their best and get a good playoff caliber test this late in the season. I think it would be good for this team because this is different than, say, compared to like the Lions last year. The Lions had actually had that test. They had to play the Vikings in a Week 18 game and win it, and then they flopped in the playoffs. But they had already established themselves. The Bears are still a developing team. This is a team that can win the Super Bowl and lose in the first round, and I think they might have equal chances to do both at this point, to tell you the truth. So I think it's important for them. I guess what I'm saying is normally you'd be saying, oh, I hope Kittle doesn't play. No, I kind of like to see Kittle play, see them play a red-hot offense. Because this defense, which has been depending on turn, I don't think they've won yet without one or without two. They need to be conditioned to stop a really good offense because they are vulnerable as much as they are a team of destiny. They are vulnerable to a hot quarterback, and they're more very likely to face one of those in the playoffs.
I was running down the quarterbacks for the starting quarterbacks for the teams that are leading the divisions now. And one of them's 42 years old. That's in the AFC. Aaron Rodgers is 42 years old. And one who doesn't get respect is Jalen Hurts. And Sam Darnold shouldn't scare you. And there, the Seahawks are in first place. Caleb Williams has never thrown a playoff pass. There's a lot of the Caleb Williams going around. No playoff experience, no playoff success, which makes it even more wide open. And I think tremendously exciting and tremendous drama. And who they played and how they got there, you can look at the 49ers and say, well, their five-game winning streak, they played mostly crap. And this is whatever you're saying about the Bears in the middle of the season, you could say about them now. But I do think a significant part of their personality, which doesn't really fit with metrics, is they seize an opportunity. Whatever number of miracles, they seize an opportunity. I don't know if you can quantify it. But I think you have to give them that and put some stock in it going forward. Or do you look at it another way, Mark?
No, I agree that the whole team of destiny thing. But in the playoffs, you know, all it takes is one game to not get that, and you're done. You need to lean on something besides it. So I agree. What a perfect example of last week. I mean, that was, of all the things that have happened, you know, the unforced fumbles by Jaden Daniels and the black field goal and a 56-yard punt return, I mean, kickoff return when a team is totally should be defending against. Of all the things that have happened, the actual recovering the onside kick was 1-10, actually. That was one of the better odds of crazy things happening. So, but here's the point. But they took advantage of that and totally turned the game around. Not only that, but their quarterback turned into a different guy. That was the best sign, is that given the opportunity, their quarterback, Caleb Williams, turned from, you know, the typical, well, is he good? Is he good enough? Is he not? Is it not a great game? All of a sudden, he was the elite guy who wills a team to victory and makes things happen. So that was a great example of how, yeah, getting those opportunities and being that team of destiny makes a difference. But, you know, you still got to play good, you know, good football from start to finish, or most of the way, I guess. And so the more they are conditioned to do that, the better they are. But your general point is absolutely true. I mean, Sam Darnold, now that's somebody who I think, like, you kind of underestimate him because he's been so bad before, and being on Seattle, you know, a non-marquee team, that's going to be dangerous for a lot of teams just from a psychological standpoint. But in general, that's so true. I mean, it's so wide open. That's what's great about what the Bears are doing is, again, I've said it before, they're not just a team that, like Detroit a couple of years ago, just trying to make the playoffs to get the experience. I mean, their team could actually do some damage, and I think it'd be great, you know, it would be great, obviously, for you know, all Bears fans to see them take advantage of that.
Business is good. Business would be good here. This is Mark Potash. He's my guest on Chicago Sports Radio 670 to Score. We're talking Bears and 49ers. So the Bears-49ers game may not mean enough for the division, but it may not mean anything for the division for the Bears. They could win the division this afternoon if the Packers lose to the Ravens. In that case, would you expect something, anything to change with Ben Johnson's approach? And I'm not talking resting people. I'm talking, I want my good to get better, my better to get best. So they want to win the game. They need to win the game to get the number one seed. But at the same time, what if I want to make sure this running game to sort of balance the team of destiny stuff, running games, travel. Would you expect any change, or would you expect Ben Johnson to game plan to win the game and move along?
Yeah, I always say the latter. I don't think he's going to. I don't think the division situation is going to change his approach at all. It'll certainly change it, I think, almost likely for next week against the Lions, because you know they're in the midst of 13 straight weeks, NFL weeks of playing, and so they're, you know, that time off, I think, is going to help them. But in general, the way they approach it, no, I think they want to establish the run. I think that's been one of the revelations, at least for myself, as far as, you know, thinking that Ben Johnson ran this high-scoring offense, this potent offense, big play offense, is just how grounded he is, no pun intended, in the running game, how rooted he is in the running game, and how much it's not, you know, it's not just a, is that just lip service? This is one. I mean, he really depends on that run game. So I think that's going to be a focus, like every time. And it will be interesting to see what happens. The 49ers are a much better run defense than they are pass defense. But I still think they're going to try and run the ball against the 49ers, because I think they know they have to do it against anybody in the playoffs to be at their best on offense, in the postseason.
Even without George Kittle, if the Bears have a handful in Christian McCaffrey, he is such a load, trying to become the first guy to go 1,000 yards passing, receiving and rushing, first guy to do it twice. So Dennis Allen has found a way to play whack-a-mole with all the injuries and all of the great players he has faced this year, whatever they faced. Bill Belichick would always try to take your best weapon away and dare everybody else to beat you and game plan around that. It hasn't really been, sometimes that's a luxury if you're Dennis Allen, he has to be in that position, which hasn't always been the case. So let's say Kittle doesn't play, and there's Brock Purdy, and then there's Christian McCaffrey. What would you expect Dennis Allen to do? What kind of defense, what would you expect them to show against that kind of team, those kind of weapons?
I think it's just like almost like anything else. They've got to find a way to put pressure on Brock Purdy and force him to do things he can't do, or he's not as not great at doing, or because he's one of those guys who just when he gets in a rhythm and he completes a hyper. I think he's over 70%. That's the kind of quarterback that can create a rhythm and put a defense on, keep a defense on its heels. I think it's, Christian McCaffrey, obviously, one of the best players, one of the most valuable players in the league, no matter where he rates in MVP voting. He's obviously one of the most valuable players, but really it's all about the quarterback with this defense, frankly, and preventing the quarterback from getting in a rhythm that allows him to just tear you apart and keep you on your heels. So I think the emphasis will be for the Bears, which has kind of always been that interesting thing. Not a great big pressure team, but yet all these turnovers. You kind of feel like that's not something you really want to lean on. So I think they're always trying to get more pressure, and I think against this quarterback, they're going to have to do it to win.
Looking at, I'm talking with Mark Potash, markpotash.net. You can read all the terrific stuff he's written, and you can read it in the Sun Times. So, Mark, looking at the field, and all things are possible, wherever the Bears are seated, is there one team, because there's no dynastic team, and the Eagles are getting better, the Rams have some really strong traits here. Is there one team you would not want to see? What's the one team that gives the Bears the biggest problems, and why, in the playoffs?
Well, there's two things. I think the Rams do, because the Rams have the quarterback and just the offense, the offensive coordinator, the coach, who can really take advantage of the Bears' defense. And then it's just a matter of just avoiding turnovers, which I think they've done. And so that would be the team, I think, just on paper. And again, I'm ignoring Seattle. I'm ignoring the Seahawks. So I don't see them that much, and I don't know exactly how they're doing it. And they're really good. So, see, it might end up being the Seahawks. But, again, that's that bias, memory bias, I guess, if you will, that, Sam Darnold just is not a guy who scares you. So I could be totally wrong on that. On paper, for me, it's the Rams. On the other hand, I will say trying to beat a team that you've beaten before, like the Eagles, that would not be a great situation either, I think, for the Bears. A third game against the Packers, which is probably the most likely scenario. Yeah, I'd be uneasy about that, too. There are a lot of potholes, I guess, in the playoffs. But on the other hand, just a whole lot of opportunity, too. I'm not really, I'll be honest, looking at it from my viewpoint, I'm not, like, looking at it like that. Like, wow, who do they not want to face? I think this team could I think that's one of the strengths of this Bears team is, they can beat anybody. They're pretty versatile as far as, I don't think there's a bad matchup. There's just that risk of facing a hot quarterback. I think that's their biggest fear in the NFL more than anything else, which is better than most of the recent Bear playoff teams, if you can remember those.
Which is like facing a hot goalie in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what you're
And the Blackhawks were great at that. Jonathan Quick was the hottest goalie in the league at the time they faced him in 2013, and they literally took him out of the game. Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, Tuukka Rask, every hot goalie the Blackhawks faced. they destroyed, and that was the strength of that team. And this Bears team is kind of like that. They're kind of like the Blackhawks. They do it. They're vulnerable, but they do what's necessary to win. And that's why I like the Bears. Again, they could lose in the first round. That would not be a shame. That would not be like that would not hurt them for next year. But they also have a great chance to win, just like the Blackhawks. Whenever they lost in the first round often, but when they didn't, they went far.
So you're the perfect guy, one of the perfect guys to ask about this, Potsy. Mark Potash is my guest, markpotash.net. You've covered hockey. You covered the Blackhawks in the playoffs. You covered the Bears. Drama, excitement, meaning, the kind of ending. Compare and contrast Bears-Green Bay, DJ Caleb to DJ, and 17 seconds. Funny you should bring up 2013. 17 seconds versus Caleb to DJ. Compare and contrast, Mark.
Well, I think they were equally improbable, but the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. They were in danger of facing a Game 7, which even at home is a coin flip. And so there was much more at risk there. So that was the clutch move. That was probably the bigger clutch move. And more built on skill than good fortune. Whereas, you know, the Bears, the 1 in 10 chance of recovering that, if not for that onside kick, we're talking about what's wrong with Caleb Williams. Can the Bears beat the Packers? Well, you know, that kind of thing. So in all objectivity, I give the edge overall to the Blackhawks scoring 2 goals in 17 seconds in game 6.
Yeah,
over this.
Stakes were greater. That was the toughest trophy to win, and that helped the Blackhawks win it. And your point about Game 7 at home is a coin flip. The next year, when they were going for a two-peat, they lost Game 7 at home to the Kings in overtime. That evil Alec Martinez. So your point is well made. And I'm with you on 17 seconds was bigger because of what was – that's as much as there is – a ferocity about the rivalry with the Packers. The fact that you won a championship if you're the Blackhawks in 17 seconds, I think that ranks above that. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that because you were there. You were covering all this stuff, and you have a good sense of it.
That was obviously one of the great moments. You know, I know there's a football conversation, but if you're looking at something that kind of encapsulates what the Blackhawks were all about, the kind of feathered pass that Taves gave to Brian Bickle to tie that game, I think is what the Blackhawks were. Where most people would kind of panic and fire, you know, just overreact to it. Taves had the ability to kind of slow the game down and play it like it was on a pond and just make the perfect pass at the right time. And that's what the Blackhawks were all about. And so that, you know, that's what makes championship teams. That's why, you know, the Bears have shown that kind of ability, including Caleb Williams in crunch time. So I think that, again, lends more hope that if you can get to that situation where, you know, again, last week you needed an onside kick, an improbable event. But if you can just get to that situation, there's much more hope that your quarterback will win the game for you than they had in previous, you know, like I said, in previous playoff teams, even with Cutler.
I am so in favor of no dynasty in this NFL playoffs, and I think the whole thing's great. Mark, I appreciate you joining me. Thanks for taking time today.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Mark Potash, markpotash.net, and the Sun-Times. Take a break. We can come back. Yesterday, I took advantage. I was sort of a delayed Festivus opportunity. I had problems with some people who were telling me that the Bears are a year ahead of schedule, and that's just such a load of crap, and it got some response. So I'll share all that with you next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Score.
For you to share a bite like a pro.
No. Get your own at factormeals.com. Factor, eat like a pro.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Indeed. I took a Festivus opportunity yesterday. I was on with Mike Esposito. And it regarded my loathing for people saying the Bears are a year away. They're a year ahead of schedule. No, they're not. They're right here. Right here, right now. Haven't you been watching the season in front of you? I got all roiled up. Because you're not looking at the season in front of you if you're saying that. Look at the Bears' opportunity. And we just went over this earlier. Four division leaders with quarterbacks who have zero playoff wins. Now, that includes the Bears. Half the first-place teams, they are quarterbacked by people with zero playoff wins. Then there's the 42-year-old guy, the guy who doesn't get any, and another guy who doesn't get any respect, and one playoff win from another quarterback. So they're not a year away. They're a couple weeks away. People, look. And I voiced yesterday, and I believe that people who say that, they're trying to cover their asses for their lack of knowledge or for being wrong. Maybe they predicted the Bears to win 5 games or 7 games, even 9. Here they are with 11, going for 12 and 13. Here they are atop the NFC North, going for the number one seed in the conference and a Super Bowl berth. They can get the number one. They can get the division as soon as the Packers lose to the Ravens today, or the Bears beat the Niners tomorrow. So here they are fighting for all that, and you're going to tell me, "Oh, I think they're a year ahead of schedule." This year is that year. It's here. There's a major hole in your football evaluation, and you're trying to cover it up. And why would I listen to you if you say they're a year when you don't have any credibility? If you weren't right about the Bears in your evaluation this year, why would I think you would know what you're talking about next year? You may withdraw from the conversation. So I ranted yesterday about that, just like I ranted now. And we sent it out to the Twitterverse. Twitched. What do we do with it? Tyler, you were here. Tyler Farengold produced yesterday. He's here today. He's serving his sentence. He'll be paroled soon. So you twitched it. You tweeted it. What did we do yesterday? It made it out into the social media verse.
Yeah, it did. It did. And it kind of blew up because, I mean, a lot of people take notice of the fact that you are now talking about the Chicago Bears in the sense that they're one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, they're certainly a team that can, and Bears fans and Bears experts and observers should do that. So my tweeter thing got some response. Here's one from Eric KP. It's possible they do, but I still think they need more help on defense and the offense could be more consistent. The Bears' run game would need to be elite in the playoffs to have a chance, which, again, is possible. They've been doing it for weeks now. That's a fair assessment. But not discounting. That's somebody who's watching the team and the season in front of them. And, yeah, that offense needs to be consistent. Because all those comeback wins, again, comeback wins result from sucking at some point and falling behind in a game. You got a quarterback who can suck for about three and a half quarters and then make miracles, and you saw it last week. Can you rely on that? I don't know. You sort of depend on it, don't you? You've seen it. They've won six games when they've trailed in the last 2 minutes. That seems to be part of the game plan, I guess. Okay, there was another response. This one from the Dijonais. Lions are proof that the window closes fast. Yeah. And the Commanders, that window closed even faster. they've traded places with the Bears. You remember this. They've gone on this disastrously long losing streak after losing to the Bears the way the Bears went on that embarrassing 10-game losing streak last year after the loss to the Commanders. Life comes at you fast. Bye, Spilkus. I'm just saying bye to Spilk. Yeah, there's, Mitch is leaving. He's taking his gong with him too, isn't he, Tyler? Did you text me in the middle of this? Do I need to know something?
Yeah, it's kind of important.
All right. Is it breaking news, Tyler?
It is breaking news. Can you hit that wildfire news read and I will deliver the news?
Well, breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Create some news for us, Tyler.
Well, I will create some news. The Chicago Bears just announced that they have activated Luke Newman, and additionally, they have addressed that Darnell Wright, due to an illness, has been added to the injury report and will not travel with the team on Saturday. His status has been downgraded to questionable, but I mean, not traveling with the team means he's out.
There's something going around. There's some other guys with illness, and Darnell Wright got it, and their starting right tackle is out.
Out.
So now Luke Newman is being activated.
Luke Newman being activated.
And I think wasn't he illness as well? I'm not sure what he was on the injured list for. I don't have it in front of me at the moment. But okay, so now what? Now is it Ozzie Trapillo? Is it Theo Benedict? Who's going to play right tackle for y'all?
If I had to guess right away, I would say Ozzie Trapillo's had the hot hand at left tackle. I would keep Ozzie at left and put Theo at right.
And get some help.
And get some,
just in case. Now there's not a, you're not facing a Myles Garrett. So
thank God Nick Bosa's not playing.
Right. Fred Warner's not there. Bosa's not there. They got some young guys who got a couple sacks on Old Man Rivers, but Caleb can run faster than Old Man Rivers. So the Bears are going to be without their starting right tackle after we've talked about this offensive line being so good. All right, we'll see if we can gather more information, more response on that. But response to the idea, look, this doesn't cave in the Bears' chances. Bears are going out. The Bears have faced this all year. And this doesn't mean they're a year ahead of schedule and, now you're getting it. Now their right tackle's out. No. They're still here. They're still playing to win the division. They're playing to win the number one seed in the conference. So part of the response yesterday from Papa Joe, I'd have loved to hear that the last decade. It's been rough. And he ended it with a smiley face with rosy cheeks. Yeah, you recall, I remember this. I remember people talking about the Bears being a year away in 2018. And then I remember the people talking about the Bears being a kicker away in 2019. How'd that work out for you? Carpe diem. I got this response from Ted Fox. I just hope Bears stay competitive for a long while. I have seen four solid seasons consecutively once in my lifetime, 1982 through 86. Halas family can still mess this up. All right. So Ted's math and accuracy are a little messy. But the sentiment exposes this whole thing. Nobody promised you tomorrow. Bears fans or otherwise, it's a life rule. Nobody promised you tomorrow. The Bears won one Super Bowl. Everybody thinks they should have won three. Even the Bears themselves think they should have won three. They went to the playoffs five straight years, 84 through 88. The Bears have not been to the playoffs in 5 years. They have not won a playoff game in 15. They have not gone to consecutive playoffs in almost 20 years. And you want to tell me they're a year away? When it's such a struggle to get there, to win a game, they're fighting for the top seed, valuable, a bye that is unbelievable. Potsy brought up in the last segment about how the Bears have played. We'll play 13 weeks in a row since their bye. Boy, if anybody needs another bye, it would be that team. And you heard about it today. Darnell Wright, got to get healthy, got to overcome the illness. He's not traveling with the team. There's going to be a new right tackle, likely Theo Benedet. Unlikely to move Ozzie Trapillo, given the fact that he's played left tackle, and we really haven't heard his name. But that will be your offensive line. And the chance to play all the home games here. You win that number one seed, chance to play all the home games here, and that's in front of you, and you're ready for that. And you drag the Rams out of that cozy confines of L.A. and make them come outside and play Soldier Field in January. Yeah. And then there was this as part of the response yesterday from Ant Kak. Steve is still one of the best in the business. Well, yes. Thank you. I think that goes without saying. But I was not about to go without saying it. And I certainly appreciate all that. We will take a break. When we come back on Saturday Suckage, see what else we can bring you, what other news we can bring you about the Bears injured list and moving things about. Luke Newman has been added to the squad, activated. Darnell Wright will stay home. He's not flying out west with them. And I guess Luke Newman could be considered for right tackle. He's their offensive lineman du jour. He might be their Swiss offensive line knife.
I think it was the Pittsburgh game, Rosie, that Jonah Jackson went down, and they had him play guard. So he has found his way in the rotation a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to need all bodies on deck. This is Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Score. It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
I am the Sultan of Sports Swing. Welcome and welcome back. The news, Darnell Wright, ill, not traveling with the team. Something's going around. They have activated Luke Newman, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with Braxton Jones, but let's run at Tyler. Let's run down the injury list and the injured list and count the illnesses, see what else is going on, who's carrying the bug with them, and what is their status.
So here's the list of people on the Bears injury report with this illness. Nick McLeod, defensive back, did not practice all week due to the illness. He is ruled out. Josh Blackwell did not practice on Thursday and Friday. He did practice on Wednesday. He is questionable. Nashawn Wright was limited on Wednesday and Thursday with a hamstring slash illness, but did not practice on Friday. He is questionable. I'll throw him in there too, just because I know you mentioned him earlier. Luke Newman was designated for return from a foot injury.
And okay, that clarifies. All right, I was wrong.
So he was on IR due to a legitimate injury. Devin Duvernay did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday, but did practice in full on Friday. He has no injury designation. DeMarco Jackson, same as Duvernay, did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday, but practiced in full on Friday. He is a go.
We'll talk with Jennifer Lee Chan, who writes about the 49ers for NBC Sports Bay Area. Some significant injuries, some important injuries there. So we talked about, I guess when I mentioned it, at Darnell Wright, if he's not traveling with a team, that's it. You're looking at Theo Benedet at right tackle, and we don't know about Braxton Jones and Luke Newman. And a texter, 615 texter, makes a point, which I guess is not out of bounds. Perhaps Wright isn't traveling with a team because they're trying to keep him isolated from the real players, from the rest of the players, since he's listed as questionable and not necessarily out. Come on, Stevie Sunshine. Well, I suppose it's possible. they could send him on a separate flight and make the rest of the people on that flight sick, but not his teammates, and give him a room by himself. And part of the illness thing is strength. You don't know what he's going to have. Okay, so what we know is he's not traveling with the team. That doesn't mean he's not traveling, period, I suppose, technically. So there is that. But there is also this. We've scouted the teams. We'll continue doing that. What I like to do here is scout the officials, the officiating. And this referee, given the Bears' circumstances, this could get ugly for the Bears. Alex Moore, it's his first year as a referee in charge of an officiating crew. Home teams are 9-6 straight up and against the spread when he is officiating, when his crew is on a game. This is according to NFL Ref Stats. Moore's crew ranks number one in penalties per game. Okay, you don't want to see that with a bunch of changes that the Bears are going to make. Offensive holding and false start is a point of emphasis with Moore. Moore's officiating crew ranks third in both categories. That means offensive holding and false starts. And here you are on the road, loud stadium, with a new right tackle. Maybe somebody who hasn't played a lot of right tackle. Holding and false starts, whether it's Theo Benedet or Braxton Jones or Luke Newman, however that's going to work, you're in trouble there. A disproportionate percentage of Alex Moore's penalties are assessed on first and second downs with an above average emphasis on the offense in early downs. Okay. Not good, because you can still call holding on run plays, can't you? Moore's crew calls a below average 16.5% of their penalties on third down with a disproportionate percentage on the defense. So if you get third down and you got some, not necessarily Hail Marys, but Caleb's going to throw 20 yards on third and 19, there's a chance you get that call if you're the defense. No officiating crew is awarded more automatic first downs via penalty in 2025 than this crew, the guy refereeing the Bears 49ers game. Okay, positive. And then there's this. Moore's crew ranks number one for calling roughing the passer, with an NFL leading 87% being assessed on road teams. The Bears are your road team. The officiating crew is number one in calling roughing the passer. Heads up, Austin Booker. Heads up, Austin Booker.
Should they not get to the quarterback this weekend?
Right, it's really tough. The Bears ranked number one in roughing the passer. And the refereeing crew is number one in calling roughing the passer. Okay. I mean, the good news, I guess, is the 49ers co-rank number one for unnecessary roughness. So it's going to be a hockey game. Or it's just going to be a display of laundry, something like that. Anyways, that's scouting the referees and scouting the new-look Bears with Darnell Wright, ill, not traveling with a team. Still listed as questionable. He's not listed as out. So you're telling me there's a chance? Yes, I am. I'm telling you a chance. In the next hour, we're going to talk to Jennifer Lee Chan, who covers the Niners for Bay Area Sports, San Francisco, covers the Niners out there. We are going to hear Olin Krutz. He was on with Lawrence Holmes and Zach Zaidman yesterday afternoon. And there's this. Before Chicago takes on San Francisco, tune in tomorrow from 4 to 7:30 p.m. for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on The Score. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley and Mully will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, Zach Zaidman will join Pat for instant reaction on the postgame show, presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Take a break. When we come back, we'll go out to San Francisco, out to Santa Clara, and see what's up with the Niners. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.